Had a wonderful day yesterday in Woodbridge Mall. It's actually called Woodbridge Center. We used to take our children there to ride on the carousel of the horses and things there. We don't spend as much time there anymore because our kids are all grown up and have kids of their own. But we intend to go back there with our grandchildren sometime and let them ride. And there's even an aquarium there now. Never knew about, but wonderful things. But the great thing is that we went down there to spread the gospel and to sing carols. There was a group of about 20 of us, I think, maybe a little more, who represented four different Chinese churches in New Jersey. We went there with Jesus Loves New Jersey. Want to encourage you to become a part of that organization. It's one of the great ways and immediate ways that you can make an impact in the state of New Jersey, and we want to continue to support the ministry that they are doing. It's kind of neat how God works. A close friend of ours that we've known for many, many years, Pastor Aaron Shum. We knew him before he was Pastor Aaron Shum. He was just Brother Aaron Shum. His family lived in Edison, and we went to the same church for many years. And he is now helping Jesus Loves New Jersey, and he'll be preaching for the Chinese congregation today. And he'll be joining us for lunch with his wife, Winnie. I always remember him. We were talking about Aaron today, Lee Chan and I, how, he's a very humble person, and we didn't have as much, contact because he attended the Chinese congregation in our church at Chinese Evangel Mission Church. But we got to know each other through his nephew and his niece who came from Hong Kong and lived with him. And he and his wife were like second parents for Hillman and for Ada for many years. And they're just wonderful people. So God works in many different ways. And now Pastor Aaron is helping with Jesus Loves New Jersey, and he was there yesterday. So you want to maybe take some time and meet him and greet him and Winnie and say hello later on today. God is good. All the time. And that is one of the things that Ada always said. That's what she always said to us. You know, I always remember her. She lives in New Jersey, too. So today we're going to be looking at some words from God that are really, really wonderful and a great encouragement, I hope, for all of us. I want to begin by asking a question. Are you good at following instructions? The first thing that came into my mind was IKEA. IKEA, you know, you're like, I know how to do this. You know, they give you the instructions, you open the box, and you take out the instructions, and then I would take them and put them on the side and say, this is simple, all I have to do. And then I look down, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, I have built the bookcase in the opposite way it's supposed to be built. And you start taking all the screws out, you know, and thinking, why didn't I follow the instructions? So instructions are very important, and they're there for a reason. So that we don't have to take screws out of things and turn it around the other way, and it saves a lot of heartache. But anyway, God gives us instruction in his word, and he has a word for us today in the book of Romans that is quite engaging and interesting, I think, and also helpful for us. Most of all, encouraging, because it comes from the God of encouragement. So when we read all these verses here, we might be asking ourselves, how come we're using this verse at the time of Advent and Christmas? It doesn't sound very Christmassy, but then you look a little bit closer, and actually it is very, very much Christmassy and Advent-filled, because the last verse that we read today, as Susan read, was verse 13 that said, may the God of hope, right there, right, the first candle, fill you with all joy that's coming next week, the candle for next week, and peace in believing. And that's the one that we lit today that Vivian said a prayer over earlier today in the service. And so we have joy, peace, and hope. And, of course, the greatest one that we will recognize as the Christ candle, which is for love. And love incorporates all of those things. Actually, the fourth week is love, and then the Christ candle is lit because Jesus gives us hope and peace and joy and love. It's beautiful, isn't it? You know, you can buy one of these, too. You can get one for your own home, and you could light them, each Sunday at home and pray as a family. It'd be a nice kind of tradition to start. You know, you can bring your family together and just read some scripture that you can find online or I can give to you. It's a beautiful season that we're in. And so Paul is talking about being one with one another in unity, and he's talking about the Gentiles and the Jewish people at his time being one, right? And so there is a unity also in the Christmas message, right? That we are one with God, that we are one with his son, that because there is this sin in our lives, that we need God's peace, we need Jesus so that he would be the sacrifice of our sins, and that he would bring us into peace with the Father. Right? And that is the true peace and the lasting peace that we celebrate at Christmas, that Jesus came to give us that peace. And so it's quite beautiful. But the thing that struck me most in these verses today was one in verse 4, where it says, "For whatever was written," talking about the scriptures, "whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction." Whatever was written, like the Bible, when we look at it, and the things that are written in God's Word were written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. And the thing that came into my mind immediately at that point was to think, okay, a lot of times we do have, and it's very important to have visual things like candles and lights, like on the tree, and the ornaments and the things like that, and they bring joy into our hearts, and they do give us a sense of peace, right? Especially on the candlelight service when we come together on the night before Christmas. We darken the room, and then we light the candles, and it gives us a sense of peace. But it also gives us a sense of unity, doesn't it? It gives us, and there is great instruction going on in the lights that we light, right? It's not merely a sign or a feeling of warmth, but there is instruction in the lights that we see that God is speaking to us about. He's giving the instructions on how to have peace, right? So within the warmth and the beauty of a flame that breaks through the darkness, we remember that Jesus is the light who breaks through the darkness of the world, coming into the world at Christmas, and to shine that light so that all people will know that God is there, God is with us, and that he loves us, and that he wants to spend eternity together, right? And so all of these things are going on in these wonderful words. Well, I want to give you a couple of things to think about today. In addition to that, maybe to help to reinforce this idea of instruction, and then also hope and peace, by reading a few words of the Bible, this instructive word that we just learned about, the scriptures that are instructive that tell us about instruction, right? In Ephesians 6:4, fathers are urged not to exasperate the children, instead to bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord, right? So parents are urged to instruct their children, not to exasperate them, but to teach them, train them in instruction from God. Proverbs 10:17 says, "Whoever heeds instruction prospers, and blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord." And so we prosper when we give heed to instruction in our lives. In Exodus 24:12, it says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Come up to me on the mountain and stay here, and I will give you tablets of stone with the law and commandments I have written for the people's instruction.'" Right? And so Moses gave the Ten Commandments for the people to be instructed. Why? Because he doesn't want them to build backward bookcases. Right? So he wants us to be able to have a productive life and to have things go in the way that God would desire for us, and that's the best way. In 2 Timothy, Paul writes to Timothy, "Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. There's a preparedness also in Advent, right? In season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Right? So we receive these words that God is telling us that we are to receive words, right, with great patience and careful instruction. Those who have patience with us and give careful instruction. How are you using these words in your life today? How are you applying instruction in your life today? It begins with the scriptures that we have been given. They're in the package, right? We open the box and the instructions are there how to live life. And those are at our disposal, right? And there's many different ways that we can do that. One way I came across this week and was reminded of was Bible memorization. To memorize God's word is very effective and very beautiful. And there was a woman who wrote some great words about that. She was encouraging people to not just read, like to memorize a verse, but to memorize a small book of the Bible, right? And before you get too scared, she was able to do it. And she was very enthusiastic about it, and she used the example of someone who didn't memorize the Bible, but memorized an entire poem as an example of how that can bring blessing. This man, John Bassinger, memorized an entire epic poem. And he said, it's not just a remarkable demonstration of brute force. Like, you just memorize it. But there was a method to it. And she wrote this that he had said, in order to memorize the epic poem, he spent a lot of time repeatedly analyzing its meaning and structure. And acting researchers emphasized this strategy. Deep encoding requires actors to attend to the exact wording of lines. And it's the focus on exact wording to gain an understanding of the characters that yields verbatim memory instead of merely retaining the words that you're going to say, right? And so I really like the way that they wrote that there was an encoding the words, right? And those of you who learn coding languages, right, and for computers, right, all those kind of things. Imagine you're approaching it as a work, right? And your work is going to translate into something that is going to appear on a website or enable people to be able to pay their bills or when you go through Easy Pass for the amount of money that is going to be registered according to your car is going to show up in a database somewhere, and it's all depending on your encoding, right? You're doing this coding work, and behind that is a structure for it, right? And so if we really want to seriously understand the instructions of God, we need to take that much time and effort to retain them and to understand their structure in our hearts. And then be able for it to come, and the living word of God comes from us because it has been given such attention. Amen? All right, so there's all kinds of different things that people are doing, and this is one example where you don't just sit down and say, okay, I'm just going to try to memorize this. Even in CEF for the children, they have all kinds of games the children can play so that they can do it in a fun way, but they're memorizing the word of God. Motions. Right, hand motions for each word. Being able to sing a song. You can compose a song based on scripture and memorize it that way. Right? If I were to, you know, give an assignment to kids to say, I want you to learn the books of the Bibles, it would be terribly boring for them to just sit down and try to memorize these really hard names of the Bible books. But if you give it to them in some kind of a form of a song, then it comes across much better, right? And then they have it in them. If we tell children to begin with a prayer in the Bible and to learn the Lord's Prayer, do they not learn how to pray? They're being instructed by the Word of God how to pray. And also we are instructed through flames of the Advent candle on the depth of the peace that is found in our God. There's great instruction going on in your life right now through your body. There's great instruction going on how the blood is flowing through your veins, how the signals are going to your brain, and that you're incorporating all these things that God has done in this amazing way to understand that it is instruction going on from God above, that your life has meaning. It's powerful. Right? So that's one example of this kind of thing. Jesus said, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And that was one of the things that Amy Hall, this woman who wrote this about memorization, mentioned here, that we actually do not just live on the bread that we eat, but on every word that comes from God. And so try it. Think about, ask God to show you some ways that you can incorporate the instruction from Scripture in your life, in the things that you are doing and the things that you're involved with in that kind of a way. There was another kind of instruction that came across that I wanted to share with you today. I have to find the note I wrote about it here. There was a man right before World War I. He lived in England. He was a reverend. He was a pastor. And he became a chaplain for the soldiers who fought in World War I. I don't know if you've ever seen All Quiet on the Western Front or read that book, but it's a German perspective on that war. If you ever see that movie that came out recently, you will understand what he's talking about, of the devastation that he experienced in the trenches going to be beside the soldiers that were fighting in that war for Britain, right? And he was changed by all of that when he saw such devastation that these soldiers experienced and the death all around him at the hands of bombs that shot through the night into the trenches, and they were terrified at the sound of all these bombs and the fighting that was going on. After the war, Eric Milner White, he prayed to God to give him a means to bring healing to the people that were war-torn and weary from war. And he wrote down a series of nine lessons for the Christmastide, for the Christmas time, so that they would be able to go through Scripture from Genesis all the way through the gospel of Jesus coming into the world at Christmas, and carols to sing so that they would be able to grieve the loss of young men who died in the war, and that will also attract the war-weary with simple beauty coming from God's word. And so that was a very inspiring and wonderful way to combat the ills of war by bringing the beauty of the congregation that he was with beautiful words of hope from God's scripture. And they were instructed in this way of the beauty of God. He wrote down that it was the development of the loving purposes of God. And that's why I'm talking about this this title for the sermon today, Purpose in Life Built Upon God's Instructions. He developed the loving purposes of God through his scripture so that people would be encouraged. So that people would be encouraged, so their lives would be instructed with the encouragement of God. And that is what we see here in these verses today, from verse 4 in chapter 15 of Romans. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. And so what this chaplain did, after spending time with the men in the trenches and seeing the devastation of war, was to bring the encouragement of the scriptures into the lives of the people who were traumatically affected. Then Paul goes on to say, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Do you see how peace is interworked through this entire scripture here? The goal is not simply to memorize scripture or to read about the things in the Bible. It is a means by which we can bring encouragement into the lives of people around us with the knowledge of the hope that we have in God. That's what we're here for. We're not here to so much to react to the things, although we do live in the world and we are going through things ourselves in our lives. We are vessels of God as a means of bringing instruction from God's word on how to cope and to also be victorious in this world that we live in with the peace and the hope that is offered by God. Hope is also a big theme, right, in these verses. And so I thought it might be helpful to read a couple of verses as well about hope. But first, I'd like to give you a definition of hope that I feel is useful. First of all, in general, coming from a dictionary kind of a view, there's a basic understanding of hope being a desire for something good in the future. I hope it doesn't get too cold tomorrow. It's going to get cold. But you can say, I hope it doesn't. Right? So one, something good in the future. The second, the thing in the future that we desire, right? So the hope is the thing in the future that we desire. And number three, it's the basis or reason for thinking that our desire may indeed be fulfilled. The basis or reason for thinking that our desire may indeed be fulfilled. But John Piper wrote a lot about this. He actually gave us a series of sermons on hope. And he said, biblical hope not only desires something good for the future, it expects it to happen. And it not only expects it to happen, it's confident that it will happen. And there is a moral certainty that the good we expect and desire will be done. Right? That we sang today in praise talk, my hope is built on nothing less, right? Jesus, and thought of him in a candle or something like that. Again, it's great to have candles, but he is the living light, right? And so it's also based on his action to take his life and lay it down for all of us so that we would live. And therein is our hope. God does not just talk to us in his word about it. He shows us in action. And he lives it out for us so that we can see what hope truly looks like, the kind that we can have confidence in, right? And that's the kind of hope that we are encouraged to have in the world today through the scriptures. And so we can read I'll read you a few scriptures in addition to what we have here. Isaiah 40:31, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Amen? Those who hope in the Lord, why? Because he is trustworthy. He's shown us through his son, Jesus. Right? You renew. It's a time of renewal during Advent as well. That is an instruction. How can you help people to know they can be renewed? Bring them the word of God and show them words like these. Right? Renewal is what we need. Right? They soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And so this morning, I wrote in the devotional based on the scripture in Romans, are you weary this morning? Jesus said in his word, which we have, and instructs us, come unto me, you who are weary, and I will give you rest for your souls. And so people can be introduced to Jesus. We instruct through the word of God that he is the way. Right? Micah 7:7 says, but as for me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God, my Savior. My God will hear me. Those are not ifs, right? My God will hear me. He's my Savior, my God. These are the things that we learn from God's instruction, right? Romans 5:3-4, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Do you hear the instruction in that? The instruction in these things that God is giving us to be able to draw upon. Suffering produces perseverance. Suffering does not result in just being overcome by suffering. Suffering actually is going to, through God's power, result in perseverance, endurance. That's what we're talking about here, that the God of endurance, right? He is the source of our endurance. And encouragement of the scriptures, we would have hope. Let's see if we can give you one more. Okay. Rejoice in hope. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. I can go on. There's many, many different ones that you can find in your Bible that speak about hope in this kind of a way. But there's the one that Paul offers here is really immediate and good for us to be able to be familiar with today. Right? And so this last word in verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. May he fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Abound in it and have that. And that is the word of God for us today, right? That we would be filled by the God of hope with joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Let us pray.